It all started with a letter from the Earl of Langdale, addressed to a butcher's shop in the village of Troutbeck named Griana's Meats and More. The letter contained a formal invitation asking Griana's Meats and More to supply the meats for the upcoming Fall Fest. The Meats and More was more than happy to accept, given that this would provide the opportunity for them to drive out their rival, Butcher Owen Wilson. To prepare for the Fall Fest, the Meats and More needed more meats, so they decided to head out to the Vertrivian Forest in search of not only meats, but a special kind of flower that a kid named Arthur wanted to give to his girl crush, Becca. Not one of the employees, not even the boss, knew what this trip would start. But who was on the Meats and More payroll anyways? Well, you have the namesake, Griana Arande, inheritor of the Meats and More, a half-orc with a high ponytail. Her prized possession is a world's best boss badge that is always on constant display. At the start of all this, she still ate meat. Then there was Zil Nyer, the head of advertising at the Meats and More. Zil used their skills as a street magician to stir up business for the butchery. A human armed with sweatbands and the temper of a 19-year-old, it was not uncommon for Zil to threaten to quit on a near-daily basis. Then you have Phoebe Velpip. She ran the front of the store, though she needed a step stool to reach the counter. A gnome with stark white hair and a guarded past. And though she was sweet, she never lost sight of her glass orb that held a single open eye. At the start of all this, her coworkers knew nothing of the pact that she made, or the nightmares that constantly chased her. And you cannot forget Kai Abadite, a buff Earth Genasi whose skin was half amethyst. She worked as Griana's second in command. And when she wasn't acting as a yes man to Griana, she was working on her burlesque routines, a passion of hers that she believed to be passed down through her family. For underage, her goal is to keep those she loves safe. And those were the four who made the trek to the Vertrivian. They hunted well, slaying giant goats and things of the like, until they came across a peculiar and foreboding tree. The tree itself was a dark purple, the limbs looking somewhat decayed at the ends. Surrounding it, however, was a ring of stark black leaves that seemed to be causing the grass around it to wither and die. Curious, they took a small chipmunk and threw it into the circle. A gust of wind swept the black leaves up, and when they could see into the ring again, all was still, and the chipmunk was gone. Spooked, but no less determined, the co-workers forged ahead into the woods. Hunting was business as usual, but when they made camp, a visitor arrived. An eccentric and suspicious man named Orund Othelm was curious of their reasoning to be in the woods. Right before he left, Orund told them of a meadow in the forest that was full of the flowers that they were seeking for Arthur. The co-workers took his advice and tracked down the meadow that he spoke of, though at the end of the meadow was a waterfall, unmentioned by him, guarded by goblins. Our workers, ever curious, decided to investigate, eventually discovering that the goblins were guarding their base, which was hidden behind the waterfall. Making their way into the base, they quickly discovered that though the goblins were currently taking up residence here, it had previously belonged to a group that was much more sinister. Amongst sacrificial altars and blood-stained rooms, they found several pendants that depicted the profile view of a raven. After making a deal with the leader of the goblins to investigate and go in peace, they returned to their camp, not forgetting to pick up the flowers for Arthur. They finished securing the meats for the Fall Fest and prepared to return to Troutbeck. On their way out of the forest, they heard a scuffle and a familiar voice. Curious, they followed the noise and found Orund Othelm being hauled away by two dwarven twins. Our co-workers found out that the two twins were the Property Brothers, bounty hunters who had been sent to capture Orund and make him answer for his crimes. Notably, murder, kidnapping, and affiliation with the Dispara. Shocked, the co-workers let the bounty hunters go and stopped to discuss their findings. As they slowly made their way out of the woods, they came across a sinister scene. The deep purple tree that they had encountered earlier had been split in half, the ring of black leaves disrupted, and at the foot of the tree laid a very deceased property brother, and no sign of his other half or Orend Othelm. More concerning, the decay that surrounded the tree seemed to be spreading. It spread in small patches of decay that led in the direction of Troutbeck. Afraid of what this meant, Zil, Phoebe, Griana, and Kai raced back to town. On their way, they found a caravan on the side of the road full of corpses and a recently abandoned camp. At the center of this camp was a map carved into the dirt. A map of Troutbeck, with the bookstores circled. To their somewhat ironic surprise, Troutbeck was still standing when they returned. Immediately, they raced to the bookstore, but all was normal inside the shop as well. The owner of the bookstore, a drunk who also happened to be Arthur's mother, had no love for the workers of Griana's Meats and More, and no interest in taking them seriously. She had no idea what some cultists would possibly be looking for in her shop. Leaving somewhat defeated, Zil found Arthur and took him to go deliver the flowers to his girl crush, Becca. There, Zil met Becca, an exuberant half-elven girl with hair that was more frizz than curls, and Olivia, a stoic yet incredibly awkward 19-year-old, determined to protect her little sister. And Zil, nearly immediately, fell in love. As Griana and Phoebe were leaving the bookshop, however, they discovered two mysterious figures who they had never seen in town before. Declaring them suspects, they followed their marks to the tavern. And despite their attempts to be subtle, the two elves caught on to the investigation. One of them, nicknamed Blondie by Griana and Phoebe, exchanged very harsh words with Griana, and then the two elves left Phoebe and Griana with a simple, "Enjoy your night." Everyone decided that due to exhaustion and the looming meat delivery in the morning, that it was time to go to bed. And they did just that. Griana, Zil, Kai, and Phoebe all awoke with the dull sting of smoke in their lungs. Troutbeck was burning. Griana tried to save her meat shop, but all she could do was salvage the meats for the Fall Fest before the building was engulfed. Zil raced to find Arthur, Olivia, and Becca, but could do no such thing. Instead, Zil doubled back to the bookshop, where they discovered that the cultists were pillaging the shop for something. And leading the cultists was the cultist who had been with Blondie, and a terrifying creature that loomed over him. A raven-esque monster with piercing black eyes. Zil, wholly determined to stop the cultists, tried to set the bookstore aflame while the cultists were still inside. As the cultists fled the bookstore after finding what they sought, a small, nondescript black journal, Griana, Kai, and Phoebe reunited with Zil, and together they took on the nearby cultists in a battle for survival. As the tides of the battle turned in our hero's favor, the monstrous raven, the Vrock, disappeared in the blink of an eye. Defeating the nearby cultists, but still outnumbered, our heroes grabbed the journal the cultists had wanted so badly and fled, returning to Phoebe and Kai's treehouse that was well past the outskirts of the village and safe from the carnage. There, they opened the journal and managed to decipher the beginning of it, revealing the journal of Rewalt, who had been madly in love with a girl named Ophelia, and had perhaps attempted to take on the gods. After some deciphering, our heroes fell into a restless slumber, and they dreamt. They each dreamt of beautiful and terrifying things all laced with gold. And when they awoke, they found that each one of them bore the same tattoo, a golden, arrow-esque design. Phoebe had also shared her dream with Becca, who had been crying tears of molten gold, and upon waking, Phoebe felt a strange bond with her, a tether that shared Becca's exact location. With the view of Troutbeck rendered to ashes in the treehouse window, our heroes decided that all they could do was try to find Becca, Arthur, and Olivia, and then deliver the meats to Langdale. And they did exactly that. Off in a different patch of woods, they found Arthur, Olivia, and Becca all alive and well, the only difference being that Becca's eyes were now ringed with gold. The three agreed to go with our heroes to Langdale, though Olivia revealed that she had fled from it last year, due to a debacle that had threatened both her and her sister's life. Nevertheless, they all went. Upon reaching Langdale, Kai, Zill, Phoebe, and Grianna met an eccentric cast of characters who seemed to be much more interested in the upcoming heroes competition than the annihilation of the nearby village. They met the Earl, Ivan Chapwood, and his snotty daughter, Bianca. They met Bianca's boyfriend, Nicholas Oltzwin, who turned out to be Olivia's half-brother and one of the biggest threats to her safety. They also met Lavinia, the Archmage of Burnfort, who just happened to be here on a visit. And in addition to those, they met many, many others. The Earl thanked them for their meat delivery, placated their concerns, and invited them to compete in the Heroes Gauntlet, a preliminary competition that would determine who would represent Langdale in the actual gauntlet that took place in the capital, Burnfort. They accepted, competed, and won. Just as they began to celebrate, Becca screamed and teleported out of the arena, taking Phoebe and Bianca with her. It caused an uproar. With the Earl's daughter missing and Phoebe being a prime suspect, the other three heroes were briefly jailed, pending investigation. With no evidence, however, Zill, Kai, and Grianna were released. Upon their release, they heard the news that Ignatius Bellwether, Langdale's cocky private eye, had captured Orund Othelm, and he was due to be executed in the morning. While the grass was still dewy, Orund was hung on the outskirts of Langdale. And Grianna, Kai, and Phoebe didn't know how to feel about it. Grianna, in the midst of soul-searching, went to go speak with her rival, Butcher Owen Wilson. There, she was sidetracked by a pretty girl named Sarah, who wanted to treat Grianna to a veggie burger. There was no veggie burger, but there was a trap, and Grianna was stabbed and taken from Langdale, with Kai and Zill briefly none the wiser. As Zill and Kai began the search for Grianna, Grianna was beginning to come to. When Grianna opened her eyes, she found herself in the remnants of her meat shop, eye to eye with Blondie and the Vrock, who had inexplicably taken over the body of the missing property brother. Blondie, furious, wanted the journal that the workers of the now defunct Grianna's Meats and More had stolen. And when she learned Grianna did not have the journal, she started to set a trap for Kai and Zill, with Grianna as the bait. Grianna, with the help of a new animal friend, escaped her binds and tried to escape. Once outside the remains of her meat shop, she ran into Phoebe, who had been inexplicably teleported back to the treehouse after an ordeal she was not keen to speak of. Phoebe insisted, though, that Becca and Bianca were safe somewhere in the Mightmire Mountains. Zill and Kai arrived at this time as well, after a race from Langdale. Finally, our four heroes were reunited. And that was when the shadows attacked. A ring of black leaves had surrounded Troutbeck as a whole, creating a black dome that was transporting energy to the center of the village and preventing our heroes' escape. Fog was quickly descending over Zill, Phoebe, Grianna, and Kai, and they made their way to the epicenter to try and stop whatever was taking place. In the center, our heroes found the Dispara conducting a ritual, with Blondie and Vrock in the center. It was a grueling fight to stop them, but as heroes do, they persevered. Putting a stop to the ritual, Phoebe grabbed a circlet that had seemed to be the conduit of the ritual itself. As she did, a brief portal opened, and for just a glimpse, our heroes saw eyes looking back at them. And after a split second, the portal was shut, taking the dome that loomed over Troutbeck with it. They had won. But they still had more questions than answers. In their search for answers, they returned to Langdale. On the ride back, Lavinia, who had seen the dome fall from Langdale and rushed their aid, offered Phoebe an internship of sorts. To let Phoebe study under her and to help Phoebe learn of her own magic as well. Phoebe accepted, fully knowing it meant parting ways with Kai, Zill, and Grianna. Once they arrived back in Langdale, they met with the underbelly of the town, a meeting that Olivia had procured under suspicious circumstances. There, they learned of the severing, a point in religious history, and the possible divine nature of their tattoos. After the meeting, Olivia announced that she was leaving to try and find her sister in the Mightmire Mountains. Before Olivia left, she and Zill went out on a date, with minimal meddling from Phoebe, Kai, and Grianna. The next morning, Olivia had already set out, and Nicholas had gone with her. And a boat was waiting for our four heroes on the river docks. eager to leave Langdale and with the promise of the hero's gauntlet ahead of them. They set off for Burnfort. That's just my way of seeing things, however. It may be better for you to hear from the heroes themselves in a cheesy recap episode with a loosely formed game mechanic, so I'll let you do that now. Who am I? That's one secret I'll never tell. XOXO. Gossip Girl. The sun sets over Burnfort as our three heroes, Griana Arande, Kai Abadite, and Zil Nair, rest in the tent outside the maze. Inside the tent, it's a bit of a flurry. Our three relatively unprepared heroes are psyching each other up. I'm going to start the sentence over.
We're sucking each other up.
We're sucking each other up. The three heroes are psyching each other up for what is to be the start of a never-ending two-month gauntlet for heroes that begins in the morning.
Hey, Zil, will you give me a massage?
Of course.
Thank you.
Massage train, Kai? You want
to
give me a massage?
Why do I have to be in the back?
Because I was in the back last time.
Kai, get in the back.
Fine. I grip Zil's shoulders just a little extra tight.
Yeah. Please, why?
I'm so tense for tomorrow, you guys.
You're right. I do have a lot of knots.
You know who has a lot of knots? This gal. I have more knots than you, is what I'm trying to say. I'm more stressed.
So enjoy.
Yeah. Hmm? At that moment,
the door
to your tent opens. The door, the flap. So, as two people enter your tent. One is a tallish-looking elven woman with very tight curls on the top of her head that sort of become looser as the hair goes on, and it reaches down to about her waist. And then the second girl is very different in comparison. She is actually a very, very short gnome with bleach blonde hair that have little blue tips at the end.
Knock, please.
Blueberry juice? How do you do that?
Blueberry juice.
What?
You'll never believe. It's the hottest new thing. And
it's you. You're the hottest new thing. Are you guys ready for the Burnfort Heroes Gauntlet in the morning?
Who are you?
Why are you?
Find us.
We're the tent.
Hi, I'm Brenna, and this is McKenna.
That's a really great Dungeons and Dragons name.
This episode is a bit.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Brenna, and this is McKenna, and we are two journalists from BurnsFeed, the hottest new news organization here in the city.
Oh my gosh, wow. I think I wiped my butt with your feet.
And I think I took one of the quizzes on them.
Are you guys also digital?
What's a digital?
We do
hand out finger-sized pieces of news.
Do you guys have tapes? Hmm. Like news on tapes?
Yeah, we do. We do. What we do is we take
my hairspray tapes.
Oh yeah.
Oh well, what we do is we take pieces of scotch tape and we put them around Jimmy the Town Crier, so you can just go up and read them.
Does he cry?
He has about five more years of indentured servitude to go. But
he cries about all of the newest ways to dye your hair, all the newest types of bugs to be eating.
Bug toast.
Bugs
are in. Avocado toast out.
Bugs
are in.
Real talk, have you heard about how avocados out, peas are in?
I did hear about that.
That's absolutely
bugs are
disgusting.
So I don't know where it conflicts there. Conflicts? Who knows?
Oh my God, you got into our tent? How'd you find us?
Well, you guys are our last interview of the day, and we saved the
best. We're so excited.
We're so excited.
Your face tells me otherwise.
Yes. Hey, well, we've been through a lot. We can tell what you're thinking.
But we did bring you a gift to sort of loosen you up before the interview. We have one of Burnfort's finest wines. We hear that you're new in town. It's actually, tell us a bit about it.
Well, it's the greatest wine to be hashtag fire sitting and chill.
Yeah, fire sitting and chill.
And it'll.
If I still had a meat shop, you might be selling to me right now. I might just sell that at my next meat shop.
It's really, really famous in the area because it'll get you very toasty, but be very warned. Be very careful because it's been known to have some very strong effects on people who've never had it before.
So just like sort of take your time with the drink. Here, we'll just, where are your glasses?
We're in a tent.
I have this milk bottle.
No, it's like,
Milk bottle.
Shut up.
You know the tent in the Goblet of Fire? You're like in a posted tent. You're not in like a camping tent. You're in a posted tent that has like
cots. I thought you literally unzipped our tent door.
No.
We're just massage training.
Yeah.
She wants it on a massage.
It's just like a 3x5 foot tent that all five of us are crammed in.
That's exactly what I thought it was.
Yeah. Sorry. I was
just imagining my family tent that we had growing up. Yeah.
Is there like scraps of like metal around?
Sure.
What?
Okay, I get 3 slabs of metal and I bend them into cups.
Cool. Kai makes cups and Kai invents cups real quick and she hands them out to everyone.
The mirror concept.
I cast mending on them to make sure they don't get holes.
Nice.
And I flick them to test the density.
And Brianna makes sure the flick of approval gets in there.
Ding. All good.
And so with your guys' subtle yet somewhat competitive nature, you guys have made cups.
Yay!
And McKenna, Brenna pour out very hefty doses for you guys. So we're just going to go through a really quick few amount of questions, and then we'll be out of your hair early morning.
Kai gulps all of her wine.
Kai, I know you're a heavyweight, but they said it was strong.
Yeah, I can handle anything.
Okay. I guess I'll drink a lot too.
I'll take a sippy sip.
Okay, Zill.
Take a little sippy.
Zill, are you even legal?
Hey, who's asking the questions? I think they are.
All right, gulp.
So you guys went from hometown zeros to big city heroes. Tell us a bit about how that happened.
Well, there's a fire.
Yes.
Have you heard about the fire?
It all started in the Vitruvian Forest.
That was the last thing that our heroes truly remembered as verified fact. The walls began to move and the sky began to come to the floor,
you guys feel
Kai's
weird.
Memory begins to change. Now, there's no verified fact that the interview happened like this. But she swears on her life that it did. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to everyone's favorite number one game show, Hero of the Hour!
My favorite!
I am your host, Brenna Lynch Seacrest.
Dame Lynch.
And we are here to find out who the new poster child of the latest girl group is going to be. Now, as we all know, there can only be one poster child, one hero. Who is that hero? Well, we're here to find out. We have 3 contestants who are going to be recounting the last 10 heroic days of their life. But we need to find out who the hero is and who is the sidekick.
Okay, Sky High.
Real quick,
my cousin was in Sky High. Yeah, look it up. I'm not kidding.
Brianna's cousin was in Sky High.
He was the hot one with the fire.
Stephen Strait, he was War and Peace, the flamethrower. Google it.
Metamorph. Alrighty, let's meet our three contestants of the evening. Our first, standing at a lovely 5'4", how tall are you?
I'm 5'7".
Standing at a lovely 5'6.5".
5'7".
We have our human wizard, Zil Nyer.
Hey guys, my name is Zil Nyer, and I'm a 19-year-old human, and this is my first time on TV, and what a fun fact about me is I really like fashion.
What? This is definitely a dream state.
This is definitely a dream state.
You wear sweatbands.
It's a fashion statement, okay? I don't ask you about your ponytail.
It got me leaning from side to side.
Our next contestant.
Oh, walking from side to side.
The very tall 6'7"?
6'9".
The very tall 6'9", amethyst, more like amabest. It's...
What?
It's Kai Abadite.
Oh, please, hold your applause. God, you guys are too much.
She starts doing a burlesque.
I do. Just another player in your game for two.
What?
Kai. Hi, Kai, 28 years old, burlesque dancer and happy owner of Ferret Cooper, who is a nice rose gold right now. He loves the spotlight. And I'm ready to fucking play.
Our last hero, but certainly not the worst. Former proprietor of Griana's Meats and More, standing at a lovely...
6'8".
We have our half orc, more like half dork. It's
That's not the truth.
I'm trying to think of something nice that rhymes with orc. Hold on.
Half orc.
Dork.
Pork.
Pork.
Oh. Half doesn't Stork. Like pork Stork. Anymore.
Oh yeah, she's a half orc, go. But she certainly don't eat pork no more. It's Griana Ronde.
Griana turns around. She was standing the wrong way. She turns around purposefully, swinging her ponytail around with her. I'm Griana. I used to own a meat shop, and now I don't. And then Iga, her owl griffin, flutters down onto her shoulder and gives a nice little chirp.
Beautiful.
I just go, I forgot to say hey to Zil again.
I'm
a magician.
Can I redo? And she turns back around. I was the best boss. I was the world's best boss. And now I'm the world's best friend, so.
But is that enough to truly be the hero of the hour? Let's bring it over to the prediction corner.
Maybe.
With my lovely co-host, McKenna. McKenna Barker, do you have any early show predictions on who's going to take this one out?
Well, I've currently received 20 gold pieces under the table from Kai, so...
Excuse me.
I don't know. Should we subtract 1 point from unheroic activity?
No, are you shitting me? We weren't on anything.
What the heck, dude?
I feel as if... there's no way to really tell so far, but it's looking to me like Griana's got the most confidence, and it's seeming like she might be the leader in this couple.
I was the world's best boss. So.
But I am rooting for that dark horse. I think Zil might come out of this one on top.
Yes, everybody back home on the forums has been rooting for the dark horse of the competition because everybody loves an underdog.
Yes, we are going to take it to Burnfort Vote. Pull out your cell phones to text.
Okay.
Text the number. We'll get to it at the end of the show.
All right.
Phone lines will be open until 11 a.m. tomorrow.
I just like to say that I've been through a lot within this past 10 days.
Save it for the sentence.
Okay.
Alrighty, our heroes have been through a lot in the last 10 days, and it can be broken up into several chapters of their life. Now, here is how the game will work. We will announce the chapter that they will be convincing us they were the hero of. They will get 2 minutes to stake their claim, and then at the end, there will be 2 minutes for arguments, and then McKenna and I, and Ameru, and Burnfort.
Oh, my God. And Amara Burnfort.
We'll take a vote. Now, our very first category. Alrighty, Kai, you are getting to select our first category. What will you take?
I'll take a trip to the Vitrivian Forest for 500.
Alrighty, a trip to the Vertrivian Forest for 500 points. Okay. Through random selection, Griana, you will be taking this first round.
Okay.
So, I will start your timer. You will have 2 minutes to explain your Hero of the Hour circumstance in a trip to the Vertrivian Forest. Why you should be named the hero of the new group.
First of all, I'd just like to say that...
Has your time started yet, ma'am?
Could I have first of all section?
No, all right. Start the time, please.
All righty, we're going to start...
I don't like being timed.
In 3, 2, 1.
First of all, I'd just like to say we all work together very well. I was the boss at this point of time. That was back when I had my meat shop. Speaking of which, I had my meat shop, and we were assigned to be the meat providers for the town of Langdale because Butcher Owen Wilson, who was my competitor, please stop showing me my time.
Oh, I don't know if you wanted to know the time or not.
Oh, actually, please show me my time. the Butcher Owen Wilson, he had a rat infestation, and he was the provider for Langdale, so I got, my shop, Griana's Meats and More, we got the job. So we went in, and I kind of rallied the troops, even though everyone had previous plans for that week. And I kind of just said, I'm the boss. So, you know, that was back when I was a boss. Oh, my God. It's super sad. I don't have my meat shop anymore. Anyways, so we went in, and on our way out, we were listening to some Hairspray on tape, thanks to Zill, and we see this boy, and his name's Arthur, and he just really wants a flower for his crush, so we go in, and we're looking for this flower, then all of a sudden, we find all this crazy stuff, and we're like, we see this wagon, and people are like, should we go down and look at this wagon, and this is on our way out after we got all the meat, and we look in the wagon, and there's all these dead bodies, and all this weird stuff with this tree, and my old family home was there, and we were all like, irked, even though it was a real place of familiarity for me back in my childhood, because I go there with my half-dead parents on vacation a lot. They are half dead. And anyways, we went in, we got our meat, we came out, we saw some real spooky stuff, but I kind of had to keep people, you know, going, because at that point I was the world's best boss. I wore the pin, I still wear the pin. And I just want to say that I'm so glad we made it out alive with the help of me.
Oh, alrighty, God. Time is up. McKenna, what are your thoughts on Griana's first claim? I felt it was a subtle hero's story.
Yeah, it was the hero by leading, not necessarily the hero by action.
Or right. Cuteness, or...
What do you mean?
Anyways. alrighty. Next up, by roll of random dice, it looks like Kai will be doing our next Hero of the Hour argument. Your time starts in 3, 2, 1.
Well, first off, I would like to say I did not give McKenna those gold coins. I don't know who did that and who's trying to throw me under the bus. Secondly, I would like to agree with Griana in saying that we are a team and we all do provide for each other in each and every way. But I would like to say that I did supply you with all the meats for Fall Fest. I do remember killing, six flying snakes, 2 bears.
You killed them?
I did kill them.
On your own? We helped.
You cannot
help.
Talk during another contestant's time.
Oh my gosh. I'm a third of the way in.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so.
Apologies, Judge. Apologies.
Anyways, I did supply all the meats for your Fall Fest happily. But I also want to remind you that I did tell you I had a big show that weekend. Kind of a big deal. Agents from all around were coming to see my burlesque show. But I dropped it to help you with Fall Fest because I believed in your meat shop and I believed that the meats and more, this was a big opportunity for them. So I sacrificed my talents for your meat shop. Also, do you happen to remember running into those goblins? Who saved us from those goblins? I think it was me. I do remember destroying quite a few of them. And also, we discovered that waterfall. Remember the hidden goblin cage
That's
in the
right.
waterfall?
That's right, we did.
Mm-hmm. Gained some amulets from it, some treasures, and some loot, all of that. I'm done.
All right, with 30 seconds left to spare, Kai has finished her first argument. You know, do you feel like that 30 seconds might have been used? Might have had a better use?
It could have theoretically been used. You're right about that.
Yeah, it just felt a little, you know. Yeah.
You all made righty. Bullet points and you ran out of bullet points, didn't you?
Alrighty.
Remember.
Yeah. Last.
No, she's just being braggy.
Who?
Sid. I did this.
I did, though, supply all the fucking meats for your farm.
I didn't even really. I wasn't keeping count.
Because you had the list.
All right, we save it for the counterpoint argument.
Against each other.
Yeah, I know. That's why this episode is great. All righty, our last contestant to give their two-minute hero of the hour argument is Zill. Zill, your time starts in 3, 2, 1.
Okay, so I did start off. I did agree to get Arthur that flower, which I think is very noble in its own. And then I will also say that I was pretty frightened at the beginning of this journey, but a lot of heroes are frightened at the beginnings of their journeys, I feel. And we did run into some goblins, but while everybody was standing around talking about what to do, I actually took the initiative and I hit them first. And then after the fight, I saw Phoebe leap into a waterfall with no reservations, and I leapt in after her. And then I saw a door, and I figured out the way to open the door was by cutting my own hand, putting my blood on it, and I opened the door. And we did fight goblins. Kaya was a very big help in that. But then when we got to the Goblin King, he was pretty mad at us, and I offered up to give my own life in exchange for my friends to leave. After that, we did head back. We did have our tapes and everything. Also, I did get Arthur's flowers, we started heading back. And we stopped the car because they needed a pee break. And
you remember that?
We found dead bodies, a cart full of dead bodies. So what did we think to do? We headed back to Troutbeck for this information, because there was also a map on the floor with the bookshop highlighted. And then I went back with Arthur. I gave him the flower. I went with him to deliver the flowers to his crush, and we actually did spot some suspicious figures, and we split up to follow them, but I took care of the original promise I made, which was to get him his flowers to his crush. And that's what you missed on Glee.
Oh my god. That was so impressive.
A dark horse of the competition.
You know, I really like how it was a discovery of self. You know, heroes don't start out great.
No, but they end great. You know, they finish something.
Because you did publish that article. What was it?
The top 5 flowers to get for your crush.
Yes, that was it. What was that flower that you got the crush?
We got the Alorea flower.
Oh, wasn't Alorea your, like, number...
It was, like, number 3 or something.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Wow. Well, we are now moving on to the counterpoint section of tonight. Now, as Griana went first, she gets to initiate the counterpoint. If we notice you talking over each other, points will be reduced. Be kind. Brianna's going to initiate the counterpoint in 3, 2, 1, go.
I would just like to say, yes, we all started off as very different people. I was kind of going through a discovery of self myself at that point. I was the owner of a meat shop who was really having kind of a crisis on killing and eating meat at that point. It was a real big discovery. So that is why Kai was doing the majority of the killing. I kind of was cowering in my own. But I will say, as far as kind of holding out their own, I can't really hold back very easily when people are very rude. So when Phoebe and I met those assholes in the pub, I really let them have it. And they're the ones that ended up burning down Troutbeck. So
you're the reason Troutbeck
was burning
down.
No, I'm the reason why we know who they are.
But if I remember correctly, you did give away where your meat shop was.
Well, they're going to burn down the whole place anyways, so...
I would also just like to say, at the beginning of this journey, I had not ventured into many adventures of fighting or anything on my own, and to say that I came out doing all of that, I would say that's pretty big.
Kai.
Okay.
I would like to say I have made a promise since day one, and that is not to let my friends die, especially you, Zill. All right? Mm-hmm. And have I kept up with that promise? Abso-fucking-lutely, because I worked my goddamn ass
I would
off.
Like to say that Kai has made that promise, and she has... been very good, but I have also, in the later times, I have also made that promise to myself, and I have said to Kai, I will not let any of them die either.
Brianna.
I would like to say that I made the transition from not being their boss anymore, and I became their friend, and I made that very known, and it was a huge discovery for myself, and through that, I became a leader.
Alrighty, well, that is time.
I would like to say I hired all these people.
All right, thank you for that point.
I offered you my help.
And I, oh, I would like to say that I gave them extra pay for all their right. time.
Well, save it for the next counterpoint section. Alrighty, now we're heading over to the question corner, where McKenna gets a chance to ask one hero one question.
Well, I've been thinking long and hard about what this question was going to be. And I just wanna ask Zil, how was it for you to learn how to draw a house?
It was an experience, I will tell you that.
How did it change?
I had never drawn a house before. And I drew one, and Phoebe, who is a natural born talent at drawing, she told me it was a pretty good house. And that made me feel confident in my own drawing skills, and it made me want to draw ever since, and it made me feel
You know what,
McKenna?
Good. I'm not sure that drawing is like a heroic trait.
You know? You don't think so?
I feel like that's the trait of a sidekick.
Oh.
Anyways.
That's an interesting point of view.
Oops, didn't mean to press that button. Alrighty, now we are going to deliberate to see who the hero of that hour was. Alright.
Oh, fuck.
All right, the judges have deliberated.
I know who she picked.
And the first set of 500 points is going to Kai. Is the hero of the time in the Vertrivian Forest. 250 sidekick points are going to Zil. And Griana is getting one participation trophy.
Wait, why? Why didn't I get any points? What the fuck did I do? I led them into the fucking forest to get meat.
America voted. I mean, Bradford voted.
Well, America's wrong. What? Did America know that we went into the forest to get meats for a fucking
meat? Oh, man,
meat
we're
going to
win
an
Emmy
festival?
For this. This is our best work. Alrighty. I've heard around that we're heading into a bit of a darker chapter in the time of our heroes.
Yeah.
We're moving on to the category, the attack on Troutbeck. Now, through a random roll of the dice, Zil, you will be heading up the first hero of the hour argument. Your 2 minutes start right now.
Okay, so I remember that I woke up with Griana in the meat shop, and there was smoke everywhere, and Griana picked me up and carried me out. Very nice of her. And then I immediately bolted to where Arthur was staying that night because I wanted to make sure he was okay, and I wanted to make sure his crush was okay and all that stuff. And then I didn't see any of them, so then I went to the bookshop that was circled on the map, and that was the only place that was fine. And I peeked in, and there was what looked to be cultists and a very giant monster crow-like person thing, and I shut the door immediately because I thought, how could I try to protect the town even more? So I thought I'd try to burn this building down, because if I could burn them down with them in it, I might be able to stop whatever bad thing that these people were going to try to do. So I started trying to set a fire, but it didn't quite work, and then everybody else came, so then I went up to the roof and I started trying to set a fire up there, and I guess the monster thing was leaving, and it came up on the roof, and it talked to me in my mind, and it disappeared, and I followed it to the edge of the roof, and it made me jump off, and then I hit it with a flurry of snowballs, and I damaged it pretty well, and there was a book that was dropped. I picked up the book, and I threatened to burn whatever the book this was that he wanted so bad if he didn't get the fuck out of here, and he did leave, so I got him to leave by threatening this book, and I got us this book that had this code in it that we later deciphered, and we figured out we needed to go to Burnfort. So I feel like I was very successful in hitting it, and I also hit this other guy, and getting us this book that was very key in letting us know where we needed to go.
And that's why she was the hero of that hour, or so we think. Next, by random roll of that die right there, Griana is going to be covering the next argument. Alrighty, your time starts in 3, 2, 1.
So, I woke up, and there's smoke everywhere, and, I mean, this is my meat shop. My parents passed it down to me. They're now retired. It's all in my hands, and previously we had met these very creepy people in a pub, and kind of like we were all kind of irked. We knew what was going on in the Retrievian Forest, but we didn't know it was going to follow us back here, and it was just alarms going off. And Zill was there sleeping with me, so I picked Zill up, and we ran out. But I believe I had to go back in, and I wanted to grab the meat for the festival because we still had a job to do, and I didn't know what was going on or where we were standing anymore. It was kind of just like flames, and people were kind of were very panicked, as people do in tragedies. But I had to it was like this very tunnel vision, because we had so many different priorities to sort out just all in a flash. And I remember Phoebe and Kai are roommates, obviously, we know that, and we had to go and make sure they were safe and make sure Arthur was safe, and just kind of like everyone had different priorities. So we all managed to figure out where we're going to split up. And I got the horse and the wagon ready, and we took it to Kai and Phoebe's. We made sure they were okay, and we had the meat. And I had to let go of my meat shop. I knew it was going to burn down. And that, for me, that was the main part about that night that really stuck with me, because I had to let go of something in order to go be with my friends and kind of face these really weird cultists that were going to change our lives. And that was huge. I'll never forget it. And also just knowing that so many people were dying around us and having to find our friends was just insane.
Wow, such loss. Such really, that was really touching.
That was heartache. That was a night of loss for me.
Oh, gosh. That was, you know, I almost cried as hard as I did when I watched the finale of Hairspray. Sure. We got orchestra seats for that. It was so good. It was so good. Oh, McKenna, you're the love of my life.
What a day.
Anyways, we're heading off into the last hero of the hour argument. Kai, we want to hear why you were the hero during the attack on Burnfort.
Yeah, why?
3, 2, 1.
Well, this is a tricky one, because Phoebe and I started off in our treehouse, woke up kind of by, which is a little outside of the city, Troutbeck, just in the woods, and we smelled some smoke and saw some light outside, and right away jumped up and headed toward the town to save the people. As we're heading toward the town, we found our horse, Grendel, so we rescued Grendel and brought him back to the treehouse safe and sound. I believe that's Griana's dear beloved family horse.
Yes.
And our treehouse was considered a safe house for anyone and any creature that needed saving from the fire. So as we go in on our way to find Griana and Zill, which we thought would either be the meats and more or the bookshop because of Arthur and then obviously Griana's store.
You're reading your notes.
We get to the bookstore, and I see Zill on top of the roof trying to set it on fire. For a split second, I thought she might have set the whole town on fire, but then I was like, nah, Zill wouldn't do that. And I saw her with the vrock.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. I gotta say, Zill might be the hero in this one. I'm gonna give up my title for this, because she truly was in the face of it all. And Griana, the meats and more will forever be missed.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, I could really tell that my story really fucking touched you, obviously.
It did.
That's all right, well, this is turning into a bit of a love fest for me. Remember, this is a competition, and the loser will be thrown in the river. Anyways.
What?
Well, I don't know that bit.
But I can't swim. I'm a witch. I'll drown.
My friends will never die.
Now we are heading into the counterpoint argument. Now, Zill, since you win first, you get to initiate counterpoint. 3, 2, 1, go.
I don't really know what to say right now. Griana's kind of looking at me. But I would just like to emphasize that we did eventually find Arthur and Becca and everyone like after the fire, and we did talk to them. And so I'm very glad that they were okay. I'd have to say... I don't know. What's a counterpoint? What would I counterpoint?
Well, I definitely tried to stop Zill from setting the place on fire.
Which is why I went to the roof.
Which is why she went to the roof. Smart choice on your part.
Yeah.
But then I realized I need to trust my friends and trust what she's doing. So I gave all my trust in her and let her try and set the bookstore on fire.
Yeah,
Griana.
I remember showing up because we were kind of sorting everything out on the Grana's Meats and More side of Troutbeck. I'm sorry, of Troutbeck. And I get there, and Zill was already on the roof, and I just remember having to trust that because everyone was kind of prioritizing that at that point. And I knew the owner of the bookstore was weird and wasn't trusting what we were trying to warn her about. So I remember thinking, like, where is Arthur's mom? Oh, she's staying in a hotel. Like, oh, okay. Right? She was staying in a hotel, right? She was somewhere else. But, like, God, it was just a whole night of looking out for everybody else.
And I do have to say that when Kai and Phoebe did show up, they did want to go into the bookstore, but yeah. I had to warn them to not go in there because I didn't want the Vrock to do anything bad to them because I didn't know how powerful this thing was. And obviously because, like, these people were powerful because they made me jump off of a roof.
Yeah.
So, like, I think I was good in that choice, and I'm very glad everybody else came Kai. And showed up.
Well, let's just say I was going to go into the bookstore to destroy the Vrock, which I absolutely could have done, and I think I did do a little help in destroying him. You did take the main brunts for that one.
We all took. All
right,
we
counterpoint.
All took hits
on the counterpoint rock. Up. We're over to McKenna's question session. McKenna, what's your question for this session?
Well, my question for this session,
brought
is
to you by Robitussin.
Oh my God.
Tess's herbal cold mixture. Continue.
Very nice.
What a sponsor, am I right? My question for the session is, Kai, what was it like to have so many people staying in your home during the fire, and how did you deal with that?
Oh, did you make cookies?
We actually, dear sweet Phoebe made cinnamon rolls. Actually, it wasn't bad. I mean, there weren't many survivors. Actually, the only survivors were us and the horse.
And Arthur.
But we had a jolly good time. I shared my Tanglefoot. I gave them a place to stay for however long they needed. And this is, mind you, this is a treehouse meant for two, not four and a horse. Okay?
Alrighty, thank you. Thank you, Kai. Now, before we vote, I do, and Burnford's sending in their vote via scroll now.
Send your scroll to the tree outside of the village.
Jesse's in there. He's inside the tree. He's counting as fast as he can.
All the ravens from all over the world.
And then our intern, Jeremy, runs it from the tree hole to the studio, where we then count Burnford's vote. Anyways, now, most people, you know, Kai tried, you know, initially tried to concede to Zill. Mm-hmm. But I have a really important question to ask you and the people of Burnford. Are heroes arsonists?
Well, not traditionally, but I think that the point of this kind of inquiry is is that we question what makes a hero, and is there a difference between what is legal and what is right?
Right, and then we know Kai has bronze and beauty, but do you think she has the brains?
Oh my God.
Well,
bitches.
That's how I've been feeling.
Okay, let's see. Does she have the brains? Well, it's all about, for me, it's all about who takes the initiative in the hero's journey.
Yes.
You know? And I don't know if Kai took the initiative.
And one last question. Have you ever had a boss that you actually liked?
Well, that's a complicated question because
we
are dating. So, and you are my boss.
I am dating you, and I am also your boss.
It's a complicated question. I'm gonna say, other than now, no.
Oh, thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Jeremy, for all right. Burn votes. Burnfort's votes. Burn votes are in. And then I will take your vote submissions now. Alrighty, Burnfort's votes and McKenna and I's votes are in, and the 500 hero points are going to Zill,
yes.
And then the 250 sidekick points to Brianna.
Oh, thank God.
And then the participation trophy goes to Kai. Next round.
I'll take it.
So I heard that after your town burned down and you were the only survivors, you started heading toward... you started heading toward Langdale. I don't know peasant cities.
Peasants.
And now I heard that was where you competed in your first preliminary Heroes Gauntlet competition. Now, you all won, but who was the real hero of the hour? Alrighty, through a random roll of the dice. Kai, through a roll of the dice, you will be doing the first hero of the hour argument. Now you have 2 minutes on the clock to explain why you were the hero's gauntlet, hero of the hour. Go.
Well, I first off like to say I took the racing, running part of the portion of the game. And after the first round, we were dead fucking last. So I outran all those bitches and ran my little heart out. And I got us in an outstanding first place. So it would make my other two friends' lives easier during their challenges.
You have like 2 full minutes.
I mean, all I had was 1 section.
All right,
like,
that's fair.
I only ran.
If we want to shorten these rounds,
yeah,
I can.
This could be easy. This is
all right, well, these are now 35-second rounds.
Wait,
what? That's not fair.
All right, we'll do 1 minute. All right. You have 30 more seconds. Do you want to any other points?
Yeah, sure. Really After wow. having a long and hard stay in Langdale, battling these vicious monsters, I gathered up all the strength I could get to outrun all those snitchy, witchy bitches.
What's going on?
And got us in first.
Alrighty,
thank you.
Your minute is up.
Restating your first statement.
That was a bit circular. Alrighty.
What else is there to say? All I did was run.
Through a roll of the dice, Zil, you are now doing your next Hero of the Hour argument category. Heroes Gauntlet competition. Go.
So I went after Kai. I had the a competition where it's just like, pick what is the most valuable, and I got it right away. I kept us in first place. I handed it off to Phoebe, and then at the very, very end, we all fought an Earth Golem, or an Earth Elemental, mm-hmm. and I did help in the slaughtering of that Earth Elemental, a pretty big part, and then after that, Phoebe disappeared, and it was very hard for all of us, and yeah. I don't know. I really feel like the competition was like a team effort, but I did get my thing right away, and yeah.
All right, you guys have a lot to say about this one. Finally, wrapping it up, Griana, why were you the hero of the hour? Go.
Well, you know what? I'm just going to be honest. I clearly was not the hero of the actual sport that I was supposed to be doing in the challenge. I was in the swimming portion, which was the first part, and I slipped kind of diving off, and I did put us close to last. But I was also really cheering on my now not coworkers, friends. Phoebe, who is not with us right now, she was, I mean, incredible solving that riddle. So if anyone gets it, it's Phoebe. But I'll have to say that I did have a huge part taking down that Earth, that giant fucking Earth monster. I think some of my hits were some of the biggest hits in that battle. And afterwards, when we were put into dungeons, I really was super, like, persistent with the guy that put us in there with, like, why the heck did you put us in here?
Hold the show. I've paused your time. You guys were put in dungeons?
Yeah, we were put in dungeons. It was unjust.
Yeah. We were questioned individually.
McKenna, I thought you did background checks.
Oh, I was going to, and then I remember you said, so you think you can... Jazz Step was on, and yes. You said, we are going to watch So You Think You Can Jazz Step.
Yeah, we just watched So You Think You Can Jazz Step.
I just didn't.
All right, Mackenzie,
do
better.
Just say,
your time's back on.
And let me just say that when we were in that dungeons and we were all separated, that I yelled and I said, well, I period bled all over your dungeon. And I didn't really.
That's truly a hero.
That's time.
But I scared him because, you know.
Alrighty, we are now heading into the counterpoint argument, which gets to be initiated by Kai. 2 minute counterpoint. 3, 2, 1, go.
Well, I wasn't even going to mention the rock monster, but since Griana brought it up.
I brought it up.
Yeah, but
I
still
did
brought it up.
Pretty much destroy the large majority of that beast. Yeah. No. I was really proud of my friends for how much effort and hard work they put into destroying the monster. And they really did take some badass hits. But my hits kind of
you're dwindling.
Brought it to its
Zil.
Death.
Okay, so when we were in the prisons, I want to say I told the guy who's questioning us, I told him the truth of what happened. Well, mostly the truth. Because he said something about Arthur and Rebecca and Olivia, who's Rebecca's sister. I thought that they might be in danger, and I just wanted to be honest because I wanted them to be okay, and I didn't know where my friends were, and I just wanted them to be okay.
Alrighty, that's cute and sentimental. Griana.
You know what? I'm going to say that I'm really starting to dislike Kai right now because you're just throwing everyone under the bus. It's really true. I thought we were an ensemble. And let me just say, can I include an ensemble, a part where we all came together? That night when we got out of the dungeons and we were in our rooms, I remember, I think Kai and I were maybe in the same room and Zil was by herself. And we went and it was my idea to go and kind of be with Zil. And I'd say that's the mark of a true hero.
Kai.
I'm definitely not throwing you guys under the bus.
Oh, you sure are.
I acknowledged your wonderful hits to that rock monster. But I'm just saying.
There's the butt.
But I'm just saying my hits kind of ended its life. Can we deny that?
Do you have records?
I do.
Did you write down your hits?
Episode 10?
That's a little hard into the meta, don't you think?
What did you roll?
That's pushing it.
What did I roll? I can't remember because that
how
was
do
what
you know?
Rolling's Eight pushing it ago? Too. Let's stay in character.
Oh, I know because I remember. Do you remember your roll?
No, Leia? I did, but I remember.
All right, thank you. Counterpoint over.
I am so upset. I'm fuming.
Alrighty. Back to McKenna's question corner. Session. McKenna's question session. You got one, or are you going to pass this round?
Oh, no, I have a question.
Okay.
So, Griana, you said that you bled in, you menstrually bled in a dungeon.
Yeah.
And I just want to ask, do you think that that was an act of feminism?
You know what, I would. I would say that I'm a feminist. And I just didn't like being quite literally put in a cage by a man. And me and my sisters, we were put in, not literally sisters, but my best friends and I were all, and they said nothing. They didn't give us any reason that we were put in there just because we won and our friend took the guy's daughter with them doesn't mean that we should be locked away. If anything, we were expecting a feast or something because we just won the competition. But anyway, so people weren't speaking up enough. I had to literally just tell him, look, man, I just literally induced a period on myself so I could bleed in your dungeon. That, I did that for my friends. And yes, I can force myself to have a period.
Must be a half-orc thing. Alrighty. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. Is dropping off the burn votes and also the background checks. He went ahead and got those done. Promotion.
So now you like Jeremy better than me? I get it. Whatever.
Alrighty. In first place, the hero of the Heroes Competition Hour with the strength of leadership and feminism, Griana, 500 points.
What? No way! Oh, yeah.
Feminism, buzzwords, man.
All right.
And Zeal's getting the 250 sidekick points.
Burn, Kai, burn.
It's fine, I'll take it. I can handle anything.
Kai, you're falling behind. Step up your fucking game.
Yeah. Working on it.
Now, I'm looking through the background checks, and it looks like there was a bit of trouble after you guys won the Heroes Competition.
Oh, that's when the trouble really began.
Griana, it looks like you were kidnapped.
Yes, I was.
Now, we're going to go through, and we're going to do this category, rescuing Griana. And Griana, you just tell us how you rescued yourself, but Griana, you cannot both be a damsel in distress and a hero of the hour. How were you the hero? Go.
I beg to differ. Okay, so I was kind of vulnerable when I was kidnapped. I was kidnapped in Langdale, and I was brought back to Trapback. I had not been flirted with in quite some time, and all of a sudden this woman, and I mean, I was definitely questioning my sexuality at that point too. And this woman comes up to me and she offers to take me to eat a nice, vegetarian burger. And I'm new to vegetarianism as well. So this was all just a big whirlwind. And I had just left Butcher Owen Wilson's where we had a nice talk. So I was by myself, which is a dumb mistake. So definitely not a hero in that aspect. But then I was knocked out. And all of a sudden I woke up like mid carriage ride and I'm like, whoa. Where am I? And then I pass back out, and then I wake back up, and I'm in my old Meats and More in Trapback. what the heck? And I'm just coming to you, and this woman comes up to me. And I see the girl that knocked me out, and she's dead next to me. I'm terrified. What do I do? What do I do? And she tells me that my friends are coming to get me, but and the woman was the biatch that I met in the pub with Phoebe. And she's the one, you know, because I lost my temper at her, so she had it out against me because I was being super unpleasant to her in the pub. So she had it out against me, but I was being quite resilient back to her. I was like, don't you dare, you know, do anything. I hate you still. I knew it was you. You witch or whatever. Anyways, I don't know if witch has a bad connotation in this world. But anyways, so.
We've reclaimed it.
All right. So anyways, I'm there. She leaves. I know she's definitely setting up a trap for my friends. What do I do? What do I do? And then all of a sudden, this owl griffin appears. And it's the cutest thing I've ever seen. I later find out, dumbest thing I've ever seen. And I get it. I name it Iga. And I'm like, Iga, please, you have to get me out. So Iga, you know, snips away, and I break free. And then I have to kill a couple people to get out, I believe. But I face some guards and kill them, get out. I see Phoebe, and I just say, I couldn't even think. I'm so happy to see her. And I remember that we won the competition, and I was just so happy. I just said, we won.
Alrighty. A tale of self-rescue. You know what? It fits with the feminism motif we're getting from her.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think so too. I like
that. You know, I'll tell you one thing. She's rocking me side to side. Next.
Oh, my God.
I've been here all night.
You know, I've been here all day. Brianna.
Got me walking from side to side.
Alrighty. The second round is going to Kai. Kai, the hallmark of a good hero is how they rescue. How did you rescue Brianna?
Who'd
go.
You kill on the way?
One word. Sacrifice.
Jesus Christ.
As Zil and I were waiting for Brianna for our meeting with the very important Lavinia, I noticed right away that something wasn't right. Brianna is 90% always on time. Usually that 10% means she's in danger. And I looked at Zil and I said, Zil, we gotta go save our friend. So Zil and I were off on this mission to save our friend. And like I've kept true to my promise, I will never let my friends die. Is Brianna still alive? Yes, she is.
Because of you.
I faced some real hardships on this trip. I remember I had a choice. We ran into two cultists. One of them I had to sacrifice for Griana's own life in order to get important information to where she was. Luckily, as we were still looking for her, we ran into her and Phoebe in a cloud of magical mist that hung over our dear town, Troutbeck. This is really an emotional round for me, I think.
Wow, no tears here, just arguments. All right, we're heading on to our final contestant. Listen, I need more sauce. This is sad. Can I get some sauce?
Yeah.
Cool, thank you. You know, viewership has been declining lately, and I just have to think about the show. Mm-hmm. All right. Alrighty, Zil. Hero of the hour. Is it you? Go.
So after Phoebe went missing, I made a promise to myself that I would not let I would not lose any more people. And then I find out Grianna's missing. Yeah. So we go to Butcher. I make the gesture to go to Grianna or Butcher Owen's shop. I interrogate him, and he tells us where they kind of went to. So we go and we look for clues, and then we go to get our horse because we find out, oh, maybe they're going back to Troutbeck. And we get questioned by guards, and I make the initiative to start the horse to start going, and I made us run from the guards. And on the way out of the city, we see cultists, and they were going into the city, and I did not want what happened to Troutbeck happen to Langdale, so I attacked them first, and me and Kai fought them, and we killed one, and we left the other alive, and what we did is we carried him with us. We brought him to a pond. I had Kai torture him, basically, and I interrogated him until we got the answers we wanted where Brianna was, because I was willing to do anything to get her back. And after we got the answers we wanted, I had Kai kill him. And we just kind of threw him into a pond. And then we went back into Troutbeck because that's where we found out that Grianna was, and when we found her, she was already escaped, and she was with Phoebe, who had been missing for a while, and we had a group hug, but I feel like I did a lot of initiative and footwork to try and get to Grianna, and I'm very proud of what I did. It wasn't my proudest moment, but it happened.
Alrighty, thank you. We are going to move on to counterpoint. Grianna, since you started, you get to initiate the counterpoint. 2 minutes on the clock. 3, 2, 1, go.
Why was murder necessary? Sorry.
Sacrifice.
Why was murder necessary? What? But was he going to speak? Was he going to run away? Because I feel like not all. I mean, Spider-Man doesn't like to kill.
Yep.
I would like to say that he was one of the cultists who burned down Troutbeck, and I did not want to take the chance that he was going to do the same to Langdale, because even bad people think that they're doing the good thing. Mm-hmm. And he was doing the bad thing, and I don't know, maybe we shouldn't have killed him, but it's what we did and we can't take back.
Because
and
he had a family, right?
Kai.
Zil has a Everybody really has good a point. Zil has a very, very, very good point. We had a tough decision, but Grianna, we made that decision to go and rescue you to prevent further damage from the town. Do you get that?
No,
I also made a promise.
What the fuck?
I also made a promise to go back and give him a proper burial. Noted, I did go back and he was not there. Do not know what happened to him.
I get that. To answer your very passive question, yes, I get that. Seeing a new side of Kai tonight. I understand. I just wanted to know why you had to kill. But thank you for explaining it to me, and I understand now. I will have to point out that I did this all by myself. I did my part of this journey all by myself, even though they were on their way to get me, which was super great, and we obviously needed them later. I did kill a couple. I did also kill a couple of guards. So.
Zil.
I feel like I did take some initiative in the forest, but I feel like in this moment in particular to find Grianna, I did take the most initiative and the most action to try and find Grianna again.
Did you take more initiative than Kai?
I feel like I did. I told Kai most of what to do.
And I told Iga how to snip me out with his beak.
But so. I did it. I did the work. I actually took that person's life with my own damn hands.
Why didn't you take the life with your own hands?
Did you have the idea to do it?
No, I didn't, but I trusted your idea. I contemplated it because life and death is a very, very, very sensitive thing.
Good person or hero.
Wow.
We've never had an episode such as this in which we really got to the grit of it. What is a hero?
What? Yeah, what?
Alrighty. I can see Jeremy about 2 blocks away running over with those boats.
He's
but
sweating.
He's so tired. meanwhile, we'll head over to McKenna's question session. McKenna, what's your question for this session?
My question for the session...
brought to you by Robitussin.
Tess's
cold mixture, cold healing mixture.
Yes, Robitussin. We're going to get, like, sued or something. I don't know how podcasts work.
They don't listen to us.
They. Big Pharma don't listen to us.
You know, Robitussin.
The biggest fish in the Big Pharma river.
But this is Robitussin.
I wanted to think of a question, and then I didn't, so.
Alrighty, I got you. Welcome to Brenna's question. Messin.
All right.
I want to know, Kai and Zil, you can answer together. Do you really consider what you did to be rescuing?
Yes, because our number one mission was to find Grianna.
They didn't
but
actually
did you have
rescue
any
me.
Direct effect on her escape?
No.
No, but we put all our effort into it. We really fucking tried.
We had the effect of escaping with her out of the city. So we did. We were effective in
they
that
were,
way.
They were there
so
when
we
I got
did
out.
Technically help get her out of the city.
No.
We could have stayed and hung out in Langdale and not do anything and just assume that you were fine. But right away, we had to.
We knew
stay.
Something was wrong,
listen,
and we
listen.
Needed to take action
Judge,
because we weren't going to let our friend die.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
this has turned into two separate categories. Because for me, I think I'm the hero of my own category because I did that by myself. I had to get out. They came to my rescue. Yes, they came to my rescue, and they but they didn't get there in time, which I'm honestly glad they didn't because that was a trap. So I'm actually glad you guys didn't get there in time. And I think Iga was the hero of this journey, to be honest, because it was either me or Iga, because he got me out. And then I had to face intimidation by the woman who I know was responsible.
Why is she getting more time?
I'm sorry. I'm just so invested.
The woman who knew who was responsible for burning down the town.
She's getting more time.
I have one more question, and this one's for Kai. Kai, can you be both a murderer and a hero? Mm-hmm.
Can you be both a hero and a murderer? I say yes. I say yes, because if you take the life, I mean, try not to take someone's life. That is a huge, huge lesson I learned from this, and I have moved on the rest of our journey.
The huge
with
lesson
that.
You learned is try not to kill people.
Okay, but, barbarian.
All right, Zil.
I just have a quick add-on. We killed goblins. We killed cultists in Troutbeck when it was burning down. Why does this one other cultist? Why is it different?
Right.
He was a cultist still.
I think it's because you found the letter to his family.
I didn't see it. I didn't see anything.
I did find the letter to his family, but that was after.
Everybody has a family.
Alrighty. I'm going to. Thank you, Jeremy. Very slow on those last two blocks.
Jeremy slowed to a walk.
Yeah. We're going to have a serious talk about that. Alrighty. And with burn votes. Those are Burnford's votes.
That's great.
Having been tallied, the hero of this round is Kai.
Yeah. Oh, surprising. I was surprised myself.
We gave a special. Yes, we gave Iga a special 300 points.
Wow!
And then we gave Griana the other 250 sidekick points. Now, I did get a bachelor's degree in math. Renna, but I'm adding it all
you
up here.
Call me your name.
I did get a bachelor's degree in names. It took me 3 years to learn mine. Postgrad, man. And it looks like
am I right?
Everyone is tied at 1,000 points.
What?
Wow.
Oh my god.
With a distant last place of Iga at 300.
Yeah, he's a sidekick for sure.
So, we are moving on to our single question rounds. Our burn votes have also submitted questions in the case of a tie. Okay. I will ask you one question, and you will give me one answer. We are going to start with Zil.
You're holding your object working a card. We're in a podcast.
Let her do her bit.
I'm sorry.
This is all I have.
Continue.
Now, your hometown was, well, your place of residence for a brief amount of time. Troutbeck was burned down by cultists. How would you, as a hero, deal with the remaining cultist threat?
I think the biggest thing is to, I don't know if we fully handled it, but we did fight the Vrock and cultists, and we did take down that Vrock and everything. If there is still a cultist threat in the area, I feel like our lead was to Burnfort, go there, and we have to do some hardcore investigation work, and when we find out what is happening, we need to stop it. Uh-huh. I feel like that's very clear.
Go to the root.
Alrighty, Kai, you are next. And I'm here to ask you, what's the most important aspect of being a hero?
This is a great question, Brenna. I say the most important aspect of being a hero is making sure everyone's taken care of. That means sacrifice. Sacrificing yourself, sacrificing your needs to help other people and make the world a better place.
Alrighty, thank you. Brianna.
Yes.
For the past 5 years, yes, Socioeconomic relationships between Wrigleyville and Burnfort have been in dire straits.
Brianna's face.
If you were to be the hero of Burnfort, how would you propose fixing these socioeconomic issues?
Well, Burnfort is the... I haven't really spent a lot of time in Burnfort yet. I guess I would say capitalize on what is truly so great about your town. So I'm assuming this wine that I'm tripping out on right now, my head. I don't know where I am. I think, like, your wine, obviously. What does Wrigleyville not have? What, like, safety, maybe? Nice men? I don't know.
Both those.
They don't have that? Well,
they don't have safety or nice men.
All right, so
they need to, yeah, we need to get some of those stat.
Like a good sports team? I don't know. So I would say, yeah, I would say capitalize. Maybe
you know, I actually heard that their bell tower, aptly named the Taco Bell, recently was taken.
hey, you know what's a good idea? What's a good idea is find the local shops, like my meat shop. So my answer would be capitalize on what's best and really look at the heart, which is the heart. The heart is from owning my own business, my own family business, Brianna's Meats and More, for so long, and watching my parents do it, as there's a certain charm that really draws people in and drives the economy forward about shopping local. And I'm getting a little emotional because I kind of miss it. And I think that it's something that everybody kind of misses if they don't have. So look at the heart of the town and what speaks to that. And that's what I would say.
Now, the last part of this game show can get kind of dark, isn't that right, McKenna?
Yes, but that's where we get the sauce.
The sauce we desperately need to keep this show from being canceled.
You are lying.
We will now go and ask each one of you, between your other two teammates, which of them would you call the hero, and which of them would you call the zero? Kai, we start with you.
I don't like this question.
What?
Tough nuts, I need some sauce.
Tough nuts.
Well, get some sauce for mama.
First of all, none of us are zeros. We're all wonderful in our own ways.
We're at least a one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number one. We're number one.
What? Oh.
What? We're number one.
We're number one.
Which means we're the goddamn heroes.
We're all...
I believe we're tied, right?
So you're tied.
That makes us... all equally.
Equal.
You know
the
what?
Heroes.
I decided to not be their boss anymore because I wanted to be their friend and their equal in this journey. Remember? Recall it? Team? Right?
I recall
team?
It. Yeah, recall.
I had a
that.
Huge growth as a person in that. And when I realized that, and I mean, I still wear my best boss badge. I still wear my best boss badge. It's hard to say. I still wear it as a reminder of how thoughtful you guys are, but that's all. I mean, we're all equal. We all freaking did this
you
together.
You know, I used to quit every other day.
She did, too. And it was really mean.
But when we were in Langdale, we special ordered Brianna a jacket, and I got her a polishing cloth to polish her badge, and I apologized. I apologized for all of the quitting I used to do because I want a fresh start, and I wanted to be more of a friend than a quitter.
Yes,
I've always just been a friend. Like y'all have always
been
my friends.
Oh, come on. Acknowledge your growth.
I definitely grew.
You were bitter to me about the whole burlesque thing, and I mean, that's not my fault. This was your job. Like you had to do your job still, even though you're an artist.
This was a huge show for me, but I put it aside to help out your meat shop because I believed
in it. Because you're an employee at the meat shop.
I could have quit any day, but let's be honest, you couldn't run that store.
And me and Kai never really.
Hey, why aren't we equals? Why are you throwing that against me? No, you clearly haven't forgiven me for that because you just threw it against me again. You can't keep doing that because that kind of hurts my feelings.
To hurt your feelings. Yeah. I'm just saying I felt a little underappreciated at the meat shop because I did put a lot of hard
hey,
work
into me too
shop.
And it fucking burned down.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and then we all became friends. So
well, we were friends from the beginning.
Hey, I was more of your boss. I was more of your boss and we all, and that's why
I saw you as a friend.
This is the sauce mama wanted.
Well, no, shut up. No, but I mean, I did have to be your boss, and then once I wasn't your boss, I became more. I came back down, and we were all friends anyways. We all got beers. We all came to see each other's shows, right? I mean, we are.
It's fine.
It's what?
Me and Kai never really talked before, and then we had a whole thing on a boat.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So Drab, yeah. Kai, who is the hero? Who is the zero?
We're all the heroes.
Yeah, we're all
you're
the
zero.
You're the zero, Brennan.
You trashy little bird.
We all had our things. Griana became a vegetarian. Phoebe left. Kai is trying out new and fresh burlesques. And I went on a date.
That was huge for you.
That was very big for me.
Mm-hmm. We all acknowledge that we're all equals despite what our dynamic was at the meat shop and who
this
we were
no
before the tragedy.
All. This is the opposite of sauce.
What is the opposite of sauce?
Hey, Brennan.
Hey, maybe.
A remoulade?
Maybe we're the heroes and you guys are the zeros.
Hey, that's what I say.
Maybe go suck an egg.
Yeah, suck an egg.
Actually, shove all the eggs down your puny little throats.
Women should be building each other up,
not
tearing each other down. Yeah. That's a real feminist right here. You're a misogynist.
What's that, Jeremy? Time's up.
Get out of here, Jeremy.
Alrighty, I think that brings us to the end of the hero of the hour, our esteemed guests who we loved having on.
We
adored it.
Alright.
They will be competing in the Burnfort Heroes Gauntlet, and I wish them the best of luck.
Why are you?
May you get the tavern you want.
That
what?
Wasn't genuine.
What does that mean? May us get the tavern we want.
I guess we'll find out next
episode. We're going to own a bar? A tavern?
See you next episode.
Whoa. You guys.
What?
I just had the weirdest fucking dream. What is in that wine?
I don't feel very well.
Shredding my board. Sick stuff.
I had a dream that I was holding someone's hand, but I never saw their face.
Oh, well, get ready for this. You'll never believe my dream.
At that point, the door to your tent flap opens, and in walks Scotty, clipboard in her hand. And she says, all right, they're about to start. Why are none of you wearing pants?
What? You know, that's a very generic question. Why are you wearing pants?
Yeah.
Because you need to be lined up in 15 minutes. Let's go, motherfuckers.
Oh. Wait, to what?
And she turns and she walks out of the room.
Wait, for what? The competition?
I can't find my pants, you guys. I have to go bush out.
Ew.
Zil dies instantly.
Griana throws up.
Kai turns around and everyone sees.
When was the last time you groomed?
Never! Groomed!
I found three loincloths for us to wear.
I have my shorts! I put my shorts on!
Oh, just kidding. My pants are over there.
Wait,
thanks.
Can I have all three of those loincloths?
No, here, your pants are right behind you. Turn around. We all haven't turned around since we woke up. Our pants were right there.
Oh, I see them. Never mind.
I was wearing
underwear. I couldn't live without seeing. Griana had her hand over her crotch this whole time, so no one saw any of
that. I was wearing some 90s patterned boxers.
There's some purple sparkly amethyst specks that just
in your
dust off of my bush.
I'm so sorry.
Ew. Okay, can we edit out all the bush talk?
You can totally permission for that. I'm so sorry.